Coming up on the FSR Sarcfighter podcast, it is Sarcoidosis Awareness Month 2024.
While we strive to raise awareness for sarcoidosis all year long through different programs and initiatives, there's a really special emphasis on April to rally our community together.
In this episode of the FSR Sarcfighter podcast, we'll hear what the organization is doing to make sure the world knows the word sarcoidosis and what it means.
We really want to light up the world purple this month. So,
and a fellow SARC fighter talks about how the disease had put him on the sidelines, but what he's doing to fight back personally and for all of us.
I was feeling terrible. I was checking my oxygen. It was about 84%. I used my rescue inhaler. Nothing I could do to get my oxygen to stay up above 87, 88 was the highest I could get it. So I told my wife, I was like, look, I'm going to the emergency room.
This is the Sarcfighter Podcast, living with sarcoidosis and other rare diseases. Here's your host, John Carlin.
Well, hello and welcome. This is episode 111 of the FSR Sarcfighter podcast. I'm your host, John Carlin, and it is April of 2024, Sarcoidosis Awareness Month, as it is every April. And FSR is doing a lot of things to try and raise awareness surrounding sarcoidosis this month. We'll be talking about a lot of that today. Of course, a reminder, I do this podcast. I want to help you understand what's going on with you, give you a sense of hope as you deal with this unpredictable disease, even if it is only to hear that other people are somehow successfully dealing with it. And that is certainly the case today. As I said, April's Sarcoidosis Awareness Month, and the theme this year, the actual theme of the month is, say, sarcoidosis. And that makes sense, right? Especially when the month's activities focus specifically around the word awareness. So toward that end, I have three guests today, Kathy Davis and Angela O'Malley of the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research, and Matthew Hall, who is a fellow SARC fighter and Ironman triathlete, who literally went from being able to do things most people can't even fathom, healthy people, to being very much on the sidelines, as I alluded to just a couple of seconds ago, and I'm going to let him tell the rest of the story, but it'll get your attention. Just trust me on that one. But, you know, once again, here is someone who really embodies hope. He's doing his best to make a comeback, and in the process, he's also raising money for the cause along the way, and I'll be getting to the interview shortly. Hope you're enjoying the podcast, and please, I want you to help me make this podcast more effective by reaching more people and spreading the word about FSR and about sarcoidosis, right? Say sarcoidosis is the theme for this month. So help me reach more people and grow the show by sharing it on your social media or just telling one other person in the sarcoidosis space about the FSR Sarcfighter podcast. So we have a great interview today with Kathy, Angela, and Matthew. And that's coming up next here on the FSR Sarcfighter podcast.
I feel like a zombie, just feeding and stumbling.
Hi, I hope you're enjoying the Sarcfighter podcast. You may be wondering, what can I do to help? How can I be a part of the sarcoidosis solution? It's simple. Make a donation to KISS, Kick In to Stop Sarcoidosis. 100% of the money goes to the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research. Look for a link in the show notes of the Sarcfighter podcast. Welcome back to the FSR Sarcfighter podcast. We have, again, a very special edition of the podcast today as we'll be talking about Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. And I want to first off start out with Angela O'Malley, who can talk a little bit about what Sarcoidosis Awareness Month is. Angela.
Thank you so much, John. It's crazy that sarcoidosis, April Sarcoidosis Awareness Month is already upon us. Thank you for having us on today to talk about it, because it's a really exciting time of the year for FSR and the sarcoidosis community. For those that may not know John or be new to the community, every April, FSR and the sarcoidosis community come together to celebrate Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. And of course, while we strive to raise awareness for sarcoidosis all year long through different programs and initiatives, there's a really special emphasis on April to rally our community together, amplify the voices, support the community through educational and support events, and make really an even greater difference for those who've been impacted by sarcoidosis during the month of April.
Yeah, so it's every April is Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. And
every April.
Right. And like you said, I can't believe it's here already. So I want to bring in now Kathy Davis. Kathy, can you tell us a little bit more about the goals of the month? Like, what does FSR hope to accomplish?
Yeah, absolutely, John. And again, thank you so much for having us here. All of us at FSR are really excited for Awareness Month because, as Angela said, it is a really important time to shine a spotlight on sarcoidosis. There's a lot of momentum happening this month, thanks to the sarcoidosis community, with buildings being lit up purple, proclamations being made in local government, and people are being educated on how sarcoidosis has an impact on a person.
I should mention that purple is the official color of FSR and sarcoidosis.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's the international color for sarcoidosis, which is why people like to light things up purple. So it's just a great time for that. This year we really wanted to empower individuals who are impacted by sarcoidosis to speak up about their experience. And so we're really excited to share our theme for this year's Awareness Month, which is Say Sarcoidosis. As you know, sarcoidosis can be a tricky word to pronounce. And unfortunately, much of the population is unfamiliar with the term and what it may mean. So we listened to feedback from the community on how they often use terms or euphemisms like having a lung condition or a heart or skin condition, depending on, what organs are impacted when they communicate their diagnosis. And so our goal is to put the name out there and encourage people who are impacted to say the word and tell their community and feel empowered to educate others on, what the actual word means. So the Say Sarcoidosis theme reminds us of the importance of speaking up about this often misunderstood condition. And on the flip side, we also want to reach those who may not know that they could be impacted by sarcoidosis. So a lot of times it takes many years for someone to be diagnosed. I think the average is about like 7 years. And it can come from like a lot of different exclusionary tests. So we want people to kind of be familiar, learn the symptoms, and feel empowered to ask their doctor if they're exhibiting any of these signs.
And that's so important. Everybody that I interview on the podcast, and we'll be talking with Matthew Hall here in just a minute, a fellow SARC patient, SARC fighter, talking to him about it. And I'll be curious because I haven't had the chance to ask Matthew yet how long it took to be diagnosed, but it's just years and years and years. And usually there, what you find out is that you start having sort of extreme symptoms. And then that's when they start looking. And then in hindsight, you realize you were having the onset of sarcoidosis years before the sort of extreme symptoms showed up, whether it was a rash or something else. Like, oh yeah, I can look back 3 years, 4 years prior to when I even went to the doctor and start seeing these things coming on. So, but the whole thing about Kathy, say sarcoidosis, I think the word is just off-putting to people because they don't know how to engage with the disease because they just can't say the word. Therefore, they feel like they can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right, John. I wish there was an easier term for it. But I think that's exactly right. But I think that's the stigma we want to break, is breaking it down, by how to pronounce it, and want it to become second nature to people to that this word, what it stands for and what it means to people.
Yeah. So, Angela, how do people get involved with, say, sarcoidosis and Sarcoidosis Awareness Month in general?
Yeah, there's so many different ways, John. Thanks for that question. So, Sarcoidosis Awareness Month is a fantastic opportunity for people to get engaged in the community if they're not already engaged with us. Ways to learn about getting engaged and participate. There's so many different things for people to do depending on someone's interest, time, ability to commit time and ways to make a difference in join the movement to raise awareness. This year, though, John, we need to raise $75,000 to help continue accelerating our research and patient support efforts this year. So we're inviting the community to consider joining us in raising funds throughout April to help reach our goal and bring awareness to sarcoidosis. We're also very excited about an exclusive opportunity for folks who donate or fundraise at least $100 this year during April Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. And for those that do, they'll receive an exclusive Say Sarcoidosis pin, which is very exciting. So in addition to raising funds, there's going to be so many opportunities for the community to connect with one another through different educational and support events. FSR again will this year will be facilitating our annual events such as Ask the Experts, We Inspire, which is a great educational opportunity for people. There's also going to be community members who are participating in awareness events all over the country, and FSR is going to be sharing more information on our webpage about how to attend and support those events, along with the educational and support events that FSR is going to be hosting and facilitating during the month of April. So many different ways to get involved in different events, local community events, fundraising, and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. So let's say I have $100 right now that, oh man, I want that pin. I want to support
Yes.
Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. So how do I give that to you? What's the best way to I can't call you on the phone and say, hey, Angela, here's my $100. So how do you do it?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. So, by going to www.stopsarcoidosis.org and clicking on our donate page, we'll be able to do that. So, you can give us a call, and I'm more than happy to walk people through that. But definitely visiting our website www.stopsarcoidosis.org to find out more and to donate.
And so, do you have like a special landing page for that? Does that launch on April 1, or is it already up? Or
Yeah, so it's
because
going
we're
to officially.
recording just we're in late March in anticipation of the month. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes, it's
So,
going to launch April 1st and go through April 30th.
okay. Very good.
Yeah, and there'll
Very
be
good.
a special landing page that people can go to make their donation or to fundraise. Again, whether or not people choose to donate or fundraise, totally up to them. But either way, by doing raising or donating at least $100, they'll be able to get that fun Say Sarcoidosis pin to continue raising awareness even beyond April and all year long.
Gotcha. So yes, so this is good, and you want to raise $75,000 through this campaign.
Yes.
That's actually kind of a modest amount of money. I think you can do that.
I think so too. The sarcoidosis community, when coming together, is pretty powerful, John. And we've seen some really great people come together, generous folks as well, support the mission and want to make a difference. So we're really grateful for all those people who have done so in the past and will continue to do so this year as well.
Awesome. And Kathy, let's just talk about spreading the word about Say Sarcoidosis. Part of this is about fundraising, but a big part of it is just awareness. And I really want to give you guys kudos for coming up with Say Sarcoidosis. There's so many things we look at. All right, we're going to have Sarcoidosis Awareness Month, and we got to have a theme. We got to do all these things. And I've been on committees trying to do that for various organizations, but I think you hit a home run with Say Sarcoidosis. So how do people help?
Yeah, so social media is a really great tool that almost everyone can utilize. Most people are on some sort of social media. And so that's a great tool that you can use to raise awareness with your own community and your family and your friends. And one thing that we're trying to encourage is we talked about the purple being the color for sarcoidosis. So We really want to light up the world purple this month. So one thing you can do is post photos of yourself in purple. Anything else you see purple, whether it's using a filter, if you see flowers, or just anything that, you know, could represent sarcoidosis, and sharing that on your social media, you know, with the theme of, say, sarcoidosis. So include a caption on why raising awareness is important to you, what the purple signifies for sarcoidosis. And if you're on like TikTok or Instagram or anywhere that you can share a video, then you can say the word sarcoidosis and share your story or why it's important to you, to help draw attention to this music, this movement, and make it go viral. It's really important to use like hashtags. So, you know, hashtag say sarcoidosis, hashtag sarcoidosis awareness. Feel free to tag us, FSR at Stop Sarcoidosis, so we can share it. And it's just a great way of like building a community and everyone coming together and, you know, sharing, a spotlight on sarcoidosis by, you know, showing purple, posting in purple for the month of April.
Got it. And I'm going to have to up my game. Other than posting a picture, yeah, I have to learn how to do the filters and all of that stuff. I think I'm too old to do TikTok. I don't know. But
you'd be surprised. TikTok is a great resource. There's actually a ton of sarcoidosis people sharing their stories on TikTok. It's a great resource.
So do you think I should start a Sarc Fighter podcast TikTok channel to go with my Instagram and Facebook?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You should.
You might have to coach me up a little bit.
I'd be happy to. We actually just launched our TikTok last week. So FSR is now on TikTok. We have one video up right now, but that's something that we're going to be putting out there more. So yeah, follow us.
Okay. And so what is the name of that TikTok page?
It's at Stop Sarcoidosis.
At Stop Sarcoidosis. Okay. I've really been resisting TikTok, but I'd see how popular it is. And so I guess we're going to have to do it. At this time, I want to introduce Matthew Hall, who has been quietly listening to our conversation. But Matt is a fellow SARC fighter. First of all, Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us about your case of sarcoidosis.
Yeah, so it's always tough to talk about. I've never publicly shared my story, so you know, like you said, it took a long time for me to get diagnosed. Once I finally got diagnosed in 2018, we were able to connect dots going all the way back to 2001, when I was in the Army. I grew up very active, ran cross country, things like that. And then in basic training, after we got blasted with a bunch of vaccines, that was the first time I ever recall in my life having breathing issues. The Army is very weird about the word asthma because it'll get you kicked out. But what they reported it as was asthma-like symptoms.
Okay. So they didn't want to say asthma because then you were done.
Right. But anyway, fast forward 10 years or so, I started having more and more symptoms. Things people just never could figure out. Sometimes it would be, I guess the first time I remember is in 2010. I was up getting ready for work one morning. All of a sudden, I just couldn't breathe. And next thing I know, I was coming to with my wife, freaking out, as I'm sure you can understand. Never could figure out what caused it. Then, you know, 2016, 2017, I was doing triathlons, Ironman races. And then all of a sudden, we were just out on a group ride with friends, not anything strenuous, but I just couldn't breathe. and everybody was commenting about how red my face was. So, you know, naturally I go to the doctor and they start looking at everything with my heart, going through stress tests and tilt table tests and all of this. And they didn't find anything on any of the heart tests. So they were like, oh, we just think maybe you've been training too hard. So they sent me back out. Had many more issues. It got to the point I was no longer able to compete in things. I couldn't run. I could ride my bicycle lightly. And then in 2018, I was on a business trip where I got some kind of stomach virus or something. And on the way back, when I landed in Atlanta, I was walking through the airport, just felt really lightheaded, just didn't feel well at all. Thought I was going to pass out in the airport. I managed to make it to my truck, sat there for a minute with the air conditioner on, got myself where I was like, okay, I'm going to be okay. And then started driving home. Well, it's an hour drive home. And within that hour, I was feeling terrible again. So I pulled into an emergency room just on my way home, not even the closest one to my house, just the first one I saw. So this was a doctor that had no experience with me, didn't know anything I had been dealing with, and just did a abdominal CT. And on that CT, she noticed a couple of nodules in my lungs and some significant scar tissue just on the bottom parts of my lungs. And, you know, she immediately says, you know, you need to follow up with your primary care, you know, immediately. Just tell them what I've said here and tell them you need to get in as soon as possible. So when I told my primary care that, they reacted with more haste than they had any of my issues going forward. They scheduled a chest CT. And, you know, when we got the results from that, that was probably one of the scariest days I can remember.
Did they think it was cancer?
They did, because I had an enlarged spleen, enlarged lymph nodes, 7 nodules in my lungs, the scar tissue on the lungs, and my primary care said she was pretty much leaning towards lymphoma. So wow. She made an appointment with a pulmonologist, and within a week I was in for a biopsy, and that's when, you know, they found the granulomas. And you know, my pulmonologist, God bless her, she's done everything she can. She's a wonderful, wonderful person, but she just don't deal with sarcoidosis very much. So literally when we were getting the results of the biopsy, her words were, well, the good news is it's not cancer.
Yeah. People heard that before, right?
Yes. And unfortunately, a lot of people that get diagnosed with sarcoidosis hear the same thing. Well, at least it's not cancer. And, you know, while I don't disagree that cancer is a terrible, terrible disease and it's affected so many lives, sarcoidosis doesn't get the exposure that cancer does. So everybody just, they automatically equate that with being less severe, because they feel like, oh, if this was as bad as cancer, I would have definitely heard about it before now. And that's just not the case. So once I was diagnosed, I mean, obviously anybody that's ever been diagnosed with sarcoidosis knows you immediately get blasted with steroids. And for about a month, you feel like Superman, right? Because all of a sudden everything that's been bothering you is starting to feel better. But then after that month, you know, you had the blood sugar issues, the water retention, the weight gain, just every negative thing that goes along with steroids. And, you know, I continued on that path from May of 2018 until October of 21 is when things really started changing in my journey. You know, everybody's familiar with the debates that went on with COVID and the vaccines and all of this. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a person that's going to say, oh, nobody should get a vaccine, because that's an oversimplification. But with sarcoidosis being an autoimmune disorder, I was very conflicted over whether it was the right thing for me. At the end of the day, my pulmonologist said, you know, I don't think there's a lot of risk in it. Come to find out, that was not accurate. You know, I had the normal side effects of the vaccine. And after, you know, a week or two, those went away. But then I started getting sick.
Right. Which vaccine do you get? Did you remember?
I got the Johnson.
Okay.
You know, because it was more of a typical vaccine. And right. To me, the risks were more familiar. So I went with that one. But when I say I got sick after it, it's not, you know, coughing and sneezing and things like this. It was just really bad. Could not breathe. Felt like my throat was closing up. Things like this. Body, just an indescribable soreness in my body. Just wow. With no activity.
So your sarcoidosis, you had a big flare.
Incredible. Basically, in, I think it was October 16th of 21. It was a Friday night. I was feeling terrible. I was checking my oxygen. It was about 84%. I used my rescue inhaler. Nothing I could do to get my oxygen to stay up above 87, 88 was the highest I could get it. So I told my wife, I was like, look, I'm going to the emergency room. And my wife, because, you know, she's used to me struggling through these things, was, you know, her immediate question was like, you know, okay, but what's different? You know, if you go there and you tell them, they're going to look at you as a sarcoidosis patient. So what is different this time? And I was like, I feel like something is sitting on my chest. I cannot breathe. My oxygen level is just terrible. So I went to the hospital, told them all that. Their machines said the same thing I was saying. Oxygen, 87, 88%. Did a bunch of blood work. Come to find out, this sarcoidosis flare was, it had wrecked everything. My lactic acid, which anybody that's ever been athletic or anything, they understand that lactic acid is what makes your muscles sore.
It hurts. It hurts big time, for sure.
And a critical level of lactic acid is anything above 4 is critical. And I forget what they measure it in. I can't remember the unit, but anything above 4 is critical. And mine was at 6.2.
Whew. Wow. And yeah. That was like over your whole body or in your chest, or abdomen?
That was, you know, that's in the blood. So I had that lactic acid was just everywhere. So, I mean, my sides, like my rib cage, incredible soreness there. My legs, my legs were painfully swollen, and
I mean, what do you do about that? I've experienced that, like you said, athletically, running a marathon or whatever. But what you do is you stop running and then it goes away. But you were doing nothing and had it. So what is the solution?
They blasted me with an obscene amount of steroids.
IV?
And yes, and fluids, trying to flush it out of my system.
Yep.
Also antibiotic for any infection that could be. So I was in the hospital for 5 days. On about the third day, I told the nurse, because they had it on my door, that I was supposed to call for help to go to the bathroom. I wasn't supposed to get out of bed. I asked the nurse, I'm like, I prefer to be active. Can I walk down the hall? Can I do something? And she's like, no, absolutely not. Hmm. And, me just, I don't want to say I was cocky about it, but ignorant, I guess is the right word. I'm like, well, you don't understand. I can't just lay here in a bed. And her response resonated with me more than anything anybody's ever told me. She was on her way out and turned around and looked me just dead in the eye and said, I understand that, but right now, our main concern is keeping you alive. And I guess that's the point that, it really registered to me that, hey, I'm in real trouble here. I can't even get up and walk around because they're worried about me potentially dying. And, I didn't share that with my wife when she came to visit me because I didn't want her freaking out. I told her later, of course. But anyway, that was a very sobering experience. And after that, my local pulmonologist said, I don't know what to do. She was like, we live in Georgia, in Rome, which is very western side of Georgia. And she was like, there is a sarcoidosis clinic at UAB in Alabama. Would that be too far for you? And I told her at the time that she could have told me it was in Wisconsin and it wouldn't have been too far.
There you go.
But I was familiar with the sarcoidosis clinic, because I had attended three separate patient conferences prior to COVID when they were in person. I went to one in St. Louis. I went to one in Durham, North Carolina, and one in Birmingham. So, the sarcoidosis clinic there is ran by Dr. Barney.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the speakers at the one in Birmingham. So it was funny, my first visit to the clinic, we saw one of the other doctors, not Dr. Barney. And my wife was very deflated, I guess, because she's definitely a fan of Dr. Barney. And so when we're talking to Dr. Lalani, she's like, oh, so we're not going to get to meet Dr. Barney today? And he's like, well, I could bring him in if you want me to. So literally my wife got him to bring Dr. Barney in so she could meet him and have this very fangirl moment.
Wow. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So, and, don't get me wrong, love all the doctors that I've seen there, the nurse practitioners, everybody at that clinic is great. And, they started immediately trying different treatments than what my local one had done. Everything from Plaquenil to methotrexate. And then we ended up in 2022, September, putting me on Cellcept, which some sarcoidosis patients may have been on it, some hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's not aware, it's an immune suppressant commonly given to transplant recipients for anti-rejection. And that's the point in my story where things finally start to change for me. It took a couple of months. You know, it's not you swallow a pill and later that afternoon you're like, hey, let's go ride a bicycle.
Wow.
But, you know, it took a couple of months. But by December, I was feeling better. And in January, the company I work for, they do a fitness challenge every year. It's a 10-week challenge, weight loss and activity. So you get 1 point per day that you have 45 minutes of activity, and then they track weight loss and they calculate that by a percentage of body weight loss. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to sign up for it. I feel pretty good. You know, I'm on the sales rep. They're going to take me off the steroids. Maybe I can, you know, at this point I was 240 pounds. I was like, you know, maybe
how
I can.
How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10", 240. Okay. Yeah.
So if for reference, when I was racing in 2017, early 2018, or no, 2016 and early 2017, I was between 185 and 190 pounds.
That's very athletic build, right?
Yes. Yes. So I started out just walking, and the better I felt, the more I walked. And, you know, about a month into it, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to try and run. So I started with the Couch to 5K app. And at first it was a struggle for me to run, you know, a full minute at a time without mm-hmm. walking. But then by April of 23, Sarcoidosis Awareness Month, there was a 5K for a local arts and crafts festival here in Cedar Town where I live. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sign up for it. You know, I'm gonna wear my purple. I'm going to get out there and, you know, just try and spread the word and try and raise some awareness. And I actually wound up finishing second in my age group in that one.
No way.
I did. And a lot of people kind of ribbed me and joke, and they're like, oh, so were there only two people? But no, there was definitely more than two people.
Okay. All right.
But I surprised myself. I really did. And at that point, I was kind of conflicted because, you know, the past 5 years, you know, it's still in your mind. But, you know, that was a huge victory for me. And I was thinking, what reason do I have not to figure out what is possible? So
what's next? What are you going to, I mean, so you did the 5K, you're a former Ironman guy. Were you doing full Ironmans?
I did one full Ironman
in 2016. Swam, so people don't know what that is. You swam 2.2 miles.
2.4.
And then you got on your bike and you rode 112 miles. Yep. And then you ran a marathon, 26.2 miles.
That's correct.
And you did that all in a day.
Yes.
And
13 hours.
13 hours. Of just constantly, so that was you pre-sarcoidosis,
well,
or maybe during sarcoidosis, pre-diagnosis.
Yes, right? pre-major symptoms.
Gotcha. And so now you're back to walking. You've completed a 5K. Is there another Ironman in your future? I mean, you feeling that good, or is that a dream?
Well, I decided to test myself.
Really,
September of last year is really the last month that you want to do any kind of triathlon because it gets cold after that.
It does.
There was a sprint triathlon, which is very short. It's a 600 meter swim, 15 mile bike, and 5K run.
I've done a couple of those. So, and, all right. So you tried it?
I did. And I won my age group in it.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, so after that, I started talking to a really good friend of mine, actually probably one of my closest friends through the sarcoid thing. He's the guy that I talked to about the symptoms that I don't want to scare my wife with, right? And we actually met. He was my coach when I was doing Ironmans before. And so I talked to him and I'm like, you know, what do you think? Is it possible? And his exact words were, you know, I've learned not to question what's possible with you. You know, clearly, if you're committed to it, you know, as long as you listen to your body and you do things, you know, properly, take enough rest, then I see no reason it shouldn't be possible. So in October of this year, or last year, sorry, 2 years after, almost to the day, 2 years after, I went to the hospital, you know, where they told me that they were just worried about keeping me alive.
Uh-huh.
I signed up for the Ironman 70.3, which is a half, in Chattanooga in May of this year. So it's May 19th of this year.
Wow. And the training has gone okay?
Training's up and down. You know, I have a stressful job. I'm a program manager in automotive. So, you know, the job don't always understand the needs of the training.
Amen.
They also do not understand the needs of the sarcoidosis.
Right.
So, I've trained when I can. One area I'm concerned about is swimming.
You got to swim 1.1 miles.
1.2.
I keep getting the swim wrong. Okay. Yeah, 1.2.
And it's scary to me because that's the only event that if I have a breathing episode, it could go very poorly for me.
Yeah, you can drown.
Yes. I mean, they've got a lot of support out there.
And you're in an open water. You're in a lake. You're not in a pool.
Well, this is actually in the Tennessee River in Chattanooga.
Okay.
So luckily, you're swimming downriver.
Downstream,
so,
that's good.
Yeah, so good. That helps you, but it scares me. I'm not going to lie. I'm very nervous about it. So, you know, but then everything was going well till I got the flu a couple of weeks ago, and it caused a sarcoidosis flare. And anybody with sarcoidosis knows what it's like when you start seeing those symptoms flare up. And immediately your mind just keys in on it. And it's like, well, I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And it's an exercise in mental toughness to talk to yourself and say, just because that's where it went before, that don't mean that's where this is going to end up.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, the toughest struggle for the sarcoidosis, I mean, the breathing, the pain, the fatigue, it's all terrible.
But the fear of going back to that is almost as bad as being there, right?
A lot of people really don't talk too much about the, they don't talk about the mental aspect of sarcoidosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You look for symptoms to come up because you're so scared that you're inevitably going to go back to where you were. And I'm sure it weighs on anybody with sarcoidosis. No matter how bad their sarcoidosis is, this is a disease that is so just wildly varying. You can have people that may never show symptoms, all the way to people that, you know, have organ transplants. And I don't make light of anybody's situation with sarcoidosis because the mental aspect of it, everybody's familiar with the sword of Damocles. And sarcoidosis is constantly that sword hanging over your head. And when I'm out on a run or a bicycle ride, any pain that comes up, anything like that, you wonder, is this the sword getting ready to fall? And that's just daily life for anybody with this disease.
It is.
And that's why it's important to me. That's why, for this race in May, I've devoted it 100% to raising awareness for this disease. My bicycle is decked out in purple. Everything from the brake cables to the handlebar wrap is purple. I'm getting special stickers made for the wheels that say hashtag stop sarcoidosis. I've had a custom triathlon suit designed and being made for me to wear that has the FSR logo on it. It's got
Really?
hashtag stop sarcoidosis. It's purple. It's got a purple ribbon on it. It's my motivation in this is twofold. Number one is to get around a group of people. Triathletes are like nobody else in this world. They're devoted to fitness, and they are a very tight-knit group. It don't matter if you run a sprint triathlon or a full Ironman. People are going to be at the finish line ready to, just fall on your neck, hug you, and tell you good job. They encourage you to the next one. Just a great group of people. And I have no doubt that the more awareness I can raise in that group of people, the more they're going to help spread it.
Do you think you can finish?
I think the correct answer to that would be I wouldn't have signed off if I didn't think I
If you
could
didn't,
finish.
but I mean, now you're 6 weeks out as we're speaking. So, and you said
It's
your
tough.
training and your job and you've had a flare and all those things. I've been where you are with respect to various athletic pursuits. I did do a version of a half Ironman, except you canoed instead, and it was 12 miles in a canoe instead of the swim, because I'm a lousy swimmer. But so I
Me
kind
too.
of know what you're doing. But 6 weeks out, you still feel confident?
I know I can cover the distance.
Okay.
There is a time limit.
So you got to get in before the time limit.
It's 8.5 hours.
Okay. So if
Right,
you get
right.
out of the water, if you get out of the swim, then you can ride your bike. And if you have to, you can walk the half marathon at the end, or as much of it as you want, as long as you get
Correct.
in under the time limit.
My plan right now is 1 hour for the swim, three for the bike, three for the run.
Okay.
The week I had the flu, I did a half marathon. That was March 6th.
Okay. And you did that
So
with the flu?
Monday of that week, I had a fever of 102.6, which I got chastised by my doctor at the sarcoid clinic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I waited until my fever got to that to call them and tell them, hey, I got a fever. I didn't realize that the threshold for what is a fever is different for somebody that's immune suppressed.
Immune suppressed, right?
And
Yep.
I was supposed to call them if it got above 99.7. So,
Oops.
yeah,
And then,
oops.
so you didn't tell your doctor you were going to go run a half marathon?
No, they knew. I mean,
Oh,
I've
they
been,
knew. Okay. All right.
and they told me that, we're going to get you on the steroids. Well, if you feel like it, do it. If you don't, don't.
So, how long did it take you to finish your 13.1 miles?
Almost dead on 3 hours.
Wow. What's your
So,
P? What is your PR in a half marathon? Personal record.
yeah, I know. I,
Oh, I was just for
I,
listeners who probably don't know.
yeah, I measure that. I have two different metrics. I
Okay.
have the pre-sarcoidosis
Sure.
and post-sarcoidosis.
Gotcha.
Pre-sarcoidosis, I did it in right at 2 flat.
Okay. Gotcha. So it's like a 30% decrease in your ability.
Yeah.
Well, but you're still doing it. That's the important thing.
So
what do you think about this whole campaign to say sarcoidosis? How important is that?
It's crazy important. And that's the second part of why I want to do this Ironman, because I want to tell all the other people with sarcoidosis, don't take the easy way when somebody asks, oh, what do you have? And say, oh, I've got a lung disease. It's quicker. Believe me, I get it. You start explaining to somebody what sarcoidosis is, that's a 30-minute conversation, just easy.
Yep.
And I want people to know that, you know, as it stands right now, there's no cure for sarcoidosis. It's not something that's going to go away. But just like anything else that's a part of you, you know, embrace that. You know, not saying be proud of it, but don't be ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell right. people, you know, I have sarcoidosis.
That's right.
And push yourself to find out. I'm not advocating for people with sarcoidosis to sign up for Ironman events. I want to put that out there. That's my disclaimer.
Well, that's your thing, right?
Right.
That's your thing.
Find out what you can do, because I have always been a huge believer in the saying, as the body goes, so goes the mind. And if you have a disease that creates mental stress from nothing, you really can't afford to let failing health add to that. You know, get out and walk a lap around the house, something, you know, it starts different places for everybody.
Yep.
But too many times people just sell themselves short and say, oh, I could never do that. And, you know, today maybe you can't. But if you start walking today, 18 months later, you may be signing up for a half Ironman event. Yeah. I don't know.
or maybe a 5K
yeah,
the company walk or whatever it is.
But there's hope for everybody.
Right. I agree. Well, Matt, thank you for sharing your story, your ambition. If you send me a picture of your bike and or when you get it, your wetsuit with Stop Sarcoidosis on it, please send me images and I will put them in the show notes for sure, along with a picture of all of us here today.
Okay.
And then, are you fundraising for this, or do you have a KISS account with Stop Sarcoidosis or with SSR?
I am, and I've talked to Angela about this. I've never done anything like this before.
Okay.
I'm in unknown territory. I don't really know what I'm doing. I do have a KISS account.
Okay.
And I have created an Instagram account specific for this activity.
Okay.
It's try to stop sarcoidosis is okay. the name.
You
got to
do the underscores and all the things to make it work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's, I just want to pull that up right now, cause I don't want to give anybody bad information.
Sure.
That's TRI_TO_stop sarcoidosis. So that's the Instagram account that I created for this. I haven't been very active on there yet. I'm actually going to record a video testimonial to put on there to let people know, you know, what's going on and sure. why I'm doing it.
Well, send them to this podcast too, because
I will.
If people want to hear, you know, you really unwrap this story, this is where they can do it.
Yep. And I'll put a link to that, and I'm going to put a link to my KISS account.
Okay.
Which
and Angela,
for any, Yeah. Anybody that don't know what that is kick in to stop sarcoidosis.
Right.
So,
and Angela, and you can send me a link to that particular KISS account.
Yes, absolutely, John.
And will I'm just curious, will Matthew's fundraising go towards your $75,000 that you're trying to raise this month?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Great.
Awesome.
And Kathy, I just want to bring you in one more time. Kathy Davis, one of the spokespeople and one of the people whose job it is to get the word out about sarcoidosis in general. Why are you urging people to share their sarcoidosis story during Sarcoidosis Awareness Month?
Yeah, thanks, John. And I want to take a second and just thank Matthew again for being here and sharing such an inspiring and raw story. I think he illustrated exactly, you know, what we're trying to do here. And the need for improved outcomes, you know, better treatment secure. And the way to do that is by shedding light on sarcoidosis. And so, you know, thank you to him for sharing his story. I'm excited to follow along with his journey with the upcoming Ironman. And I just want to encourage other people as well to share their story. And, you know, it's breaking down these barriers and shattering the silence about sarcoidosis that's going to lead to a more hopeful future. So again, for Awareness Month, you can visit stopsarcoidosis.com/saysarcoidosis. We'll provide a link for that for the podcast as well to see how you can get involved with this movement.
Fantastic. Well, thank all of you for what you are doing. And I mean, it's just incredible some of the things that FSR has going on right now in terms of advancing the cause. Hopefully, the research that's happening, the fact that people are starting to know about sarcoidosis can make it easier for people like Matthew and the other guests that I've had on the podcast, you know, who really just go through this struggle that people don't understand. And Matt, thank you so much for joining us and being willing to put yourself out there and to literally say sarcoidosis and then put your story behind it. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right. And with that, we will say that is the end of this version of the FSR podcast, and look forward to all the events of Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like a zombie, just feeding and stumbling.
All right, thanks to Matthew for sharing his story. It's one I can certainly relate to as a runner and a cyclist, a person who kind of enjoys a good endorphin fix from a hard workout. And I know that when sarcoidosis entered my life and made it more difficult to find those opportunities, it really was a setback. It changed my life considerably. And as you've heard me say many times, I still have trouble running. And it's, you know, as you get older and sarcoidosis wears on your body a little bit, it gets harder and harder to work out. But I'm still out there riding my bike, and I can still do it. But it's not about me. It's about Matthew today. And all I'm saying is that I can relate to what he is dealing with. Thanks also to Kathy and to Angela for all the work they do to fundraise and to raise awareness for the cause. And I'm struck that there are a lot of voices out there clamoring to be heard in healthcare in general, and then especially here in the orphan or rare disease sector. And we need to be sure that sarcoidosis is among those whose voice is heard when it comes to awareness, when it comes to fundraising, when it comes to research, and all of that is connected. And Kathy and Angela are real pros, and folks, we are lucky to have them in our corner. So thanks a lot, guys. And I hope that you will take heed, listeners, of the Say Sarcoidosis theme this month. Wear your purple. Consider making a donation to FSR, or maybe even better, directly to Matthew as he puts himself out there. And again, there'll be a link in the show notes to his KISS account. KISS stands for Kick In to Stop Sarcoidosis. But he's battling the disease, and he's also battling perhaps his own self-doubt and making a comeback, and then just the difficulty of what he is trying to do in terms of this triathlon. So we wish Matthew the best of luck, and he's invited back at any time to talk about what he's working on, how he's doing, how he's progressing, and his success in this particular endeavor. The official Sark Fighter song is called Zombie by Mark Steyer and his band, the White Hot Lizards. You can hear Mark's story behind the lyrics in episode 12. He is a fellow Sark Fighter. The Sark Fighter podcast comes out every other Monday. As I'm speaking today, neither of my trusty dogs, Dougal nor Shandy, are curled up in my office. Once again, it's because my wife Mary is home, and I'm just going to go with they like her office better than mine. And it's not about liking her better than me. It's all about the office, right? Right, yeah. And then the backstory to the founding for Sarcoidosis Research, that's episode 11 with Andre and Redding Wilson. Don't forget to follow me on social media. Look, just search Sark Fighter on Facebook, on Instagram. I'm on Peloton as Sark Fighter. I have a cycling blog called Carlin the Cyclist, and I've written extensively in there about cycling with sarcoidosis, especially when I was going through some of the most trying times as I was sort of coming back from recovery with, first of all, in 2016 and then in 2018 after a severe flare, which pretty much ruined all of 2019. And I was determined just to keep on riding my bike. And I just felt like it was cathartic to talk about that and write about that. And I still do some. But even if you're just a cyclist or you just want to hear what's going on in my life, check out Carlin the Cyclist. And you can just Google that and it'll come up. And it's a blog. And there are some vlogs in there as well with some little video sections. If you're new here and you're just trying to figure out what sarcoidosis is, go back and try listening to episode 2 with Dr. Simon Hart. And my story is episode 1. And I have heard that maybe, I think it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, one or the other, you can't go back to the original episodes. I don't know what's going on with that, and I don't think I have any control over it. I mentioned it once before, but I have checked, and this podcast is hosted by a program called Podbean, and if you go back and you search the Podbean version, you will find that those episodes are still there and you can still listen to them. It may be just a little bit more difficult than going through the app that you normally have on your phone, but Podbean does have an app and you can just add that. I've got a little folder on my iPhone with all the different podcast apps that I use and try and kind of play around with, and Podbean is one of them. And if you use that, you can go all the way back to episode 1. So try checking out Podbean if you want to hear my story, episode 1, or Sarcoidosis 101 with Dr. Simon Hart, where we just kind of learn all about what's going on in your body with sarcoidosis. And we took a full hour to sort of break it down and talk about it. So that is one of the most listened to episodes, and I think you might enjoy it. And if you want to contact me, and a lot of people do, please send me an email. It's carlinagency@gmail.com, and there is a link in the show notes. And until next time, keep fighting.
Learn to suffer, you feel your pain someday. Learn endurance, your strength will fade away. Dead man walking, trying to keep up the pace. Dead man walking.